नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Ekadasi, it is tradition to read from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. This is the section that is for the present. Srila Prabhupada continued to talk, but with occasional reflections on his present condition. "What is the problem?" he asked. "We are talking about Krishna. So if all of a sudden I collapse, then what is the problem? Krishna tvadiya parapankaja. Ordinary dying is kapha, vata, pita, choking. But if in the kirtan you die, oh, it is so successful. Not the injection and operation, that atmosphere, but in Krishna kirtan, that is glorious. Not oxygen, gas, dying, and so much trouble. Chant Hare Krishna, bas, and let me die. Krishna. Never be disturbed. Chant Hare Krishna. For chanting, you have got so much material. Now read something from this book. Srila Prabhupada reached over and opened Srimad Bhagavatam and handed it to Rameshwar, who began to read. Herein, Srila Prabhupada is teaching us the consciousness to both live and die. Srila Prabhupada, being perfect acharya, went through great efforts to show by his example how a devotee must speak, act, and think in every possible circumstance. There is the book Bhagavatam, which is the crest jewel of all Vedic literatures, and there is the person Bhagavatam, which is that devotee who is living what is spoken in Srimad Bhagavatam. We learn how to practically follow Srimad Bhagavatam by seeing the lives of devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself declared this when he was describing the life of Sripad Madhavendra Puri. He explained that the only possible way to understand the essence of the scriptures and how to achieve it is to study the lives of pure devotees like Madhavendra Puri. It is a reality. So many hundreds of translations of Bhagavad Gita in English and other languages, what to speak of the local languages of India. So many reciters of Srimad Bhagavatam, very popular book. But people came to know what is the real essence of the meaning of Bhagavatam and how to pursue that through Mahajano Yena Gatasa Panta, through following in the footsteps of great souls. So everyone must die. Srila Prabhupada invited all of his senior leaders to Vrindavan to be with him as he was performing the final chapter of his pastimes in this world. Why? Yadya racharati sreshtastatat evitarochana. What leading people do, the common people follow. Srila Prabhupada expected all of his leaders to set the standard by their words and example for the future generations of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to follow. On one level, Srila Prabhupada called them because out of love, he wanted to be in the company of those loving associates who gave him so much immense pleasure by assisting him in the service of his Guru Maharaj. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would say that he deserved no credit for what he did. He gave all credit to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who considered his order and his grace was the empowerment behind everything. And Prabhupada gave great credit to his disciples for taking so many sacrifices on their heads to assist him. In a beautiful Vyas Puja speech, he spoke like this. He gave all credit to his guru and his disciples and didn't take any himself. So here are his leading devotees. Many of them were devotees who, when Srila Prabhupada had practically nothing in New York and San Francisco, they came forward to help him. Srila Prabhupada considered that his Guru Maharaj had sent them to help. Because after all, he was 70 years old. He had nothing and knew nobody. How grateful was Prabhupada to those who really were willing to take leadership positions to help him in his mission. Prabhupada wanted to be with those loving associates. Also, knowing the sacrifices his leaders took to push on his mission, risking their lives, following in his footsteps, he wanted to give them his special association at that last phase of his pastimes. It was reciprocation of love. But perhaps most important is through the eyewitness of his leaders, he wanted to show the world what is Krishna consciousness in its purest essence by his example. How to live and how to die. Srila Prabhupada told the devotees in Vrindavan while he was laying on that bed, "Do not think this will not happen to you. It is inevitable." Or as Prabhupada would say, if something is certain, then the word is sure as death. There is nothing more certain than death in this world. Yudhisthira Maharaj considered it the greatest wonder how everybody knows they're going to die, but practically no one takes it seriously to make proper arrangements. Even though they see other people around and themselves growing old, still, the veil of Maya just keeps them from really coming to grips with the reality that I am dying and I will die. Who am I? What is beyond? And what must I do? Herein, Srila Prabhupada is focusing on two things, hearing and chanting. It's not such a big thing to prolong your life. What's important is to die with dignity. He quotes Maharaj Kulashekar, one of the Alwars of the Sri Sampradaya. Better I die now, when I'm not so old, when I have all the faculties to fix my mind, my total consciousness on your lotus feet, Lord Krishna. That's all that's important. Devotees die to live eternal life. So Srila Prabhupada, some of his disciples, they were just so much out of love and concern, wanting to prolong his life by whatever means possible, proposing perhaps we can go to a hospital and, you know, with injections and oxygen and all of those other instruments, it can be prolonged. But Prabhupada did not care anything for that. For Srila Prabhupada, death was a wonderful thing. It was the door opening to Krishna. See, just like this. Door opening to Krishna. For a pure devotee, death is just like what we just saw. The door is open and there is the darshan of Radharas Bihari. So here in Srila Prabhupada, all I want is Hare Krishna mantra. Let us just chant Hare Krishna mantra. And he gave Rameshwar Prabhu Srimad Bhagavatam and said, and we will hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada was completely satisfied being in Vrindavan, chanting Hare Krishna and reading Srimad Bhagavatam. He considered to be this to be the most auspicious supreme benediction, to have the opportunity to die in the presence of the holy name and the Srimad Bhagavatam. One after another, the GBC men arrived. Atreya Rishi brought pomegranates and sweet lemons from Iran. We have a devotee from Iran here today. Such a wonderful... Can you stand up, Prabhu? We have several. Mataji also. Please stand, stand. These are the sweet pomegranates from Iran. We see Prabhupada's living testimony. He sent Atreya Rishi, our dear godbrother, to Iran, an Islamic nation, to preach. And he did. I think he started a restaurant and a preaching center. It was all done in a very, very sensitive, intelligent way. Srila Prabhupada himself was so excited about this project. Dayananda Prabhu was there, Navayovana Prabhu, several of Prabhupada's very, very empowered preachers, just to please Srila Prabhupada, went to Iran. We're cultivating many people in Krishna consciousness. In fact, one of the devotees, Parivrajakacharya Maharaj, he became yoga teacher for the daughter, the princess of Iran, the daughter of the Shah. And he was actually cultivating the whole royal family. How bold. How did this happen? Our godbrother Shyam Sundar Prabhu, He told us the secret, how devotees were able to do this. Because they saw Prabhupada doing it. Prabhupada could take any risk and go to any place with full confidence in Krishna behind him and succeed. Can you imagine Srila Prabhupada going to the Lower East Side of New York and then to Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco and do kirtan and lectures in a mantra rock dance in the 60s? You people from India cannot understand what a mantra rock dance in the 60s was about. It was just massive sound degradation. It was a culture with the music especially glorifying drugs and sex and rebellion against authority. And Prabhupada comes in to tell them to surrender to authority and to give up drugs and sex. Hare Krishna. How can anyone do from Vrindavan, from Seva Kunj, Radha Damodar Temple in Vrindavan, to the mantra rock dance in Haight-Ashbury, San Francisco. They watched him and how he transformed people's hearts. And Shyamasundara Prabhu said, we saw that Prabhupada just believed in miracles. If Krishna's behind you, you could go anywhere, you could do anything and have no fear. They saw that in him and they wanted to follow in his footsteps. So they went to London, went right to the Beatles and moved in with them. They went to Germany. They went all over America. They went to Africa. Later on, they went to China, to Russia, behind the Iron Curtain. And here we find these wonderful devotees like Atreya Rishi, Dayananda Prabhu. They went right to Iran. And we're preaching. And Srila Prabhupada was so proud of them to reciprocate. He himself went to Iran, to Tehran. There are beautiful lectures and conversations he gave there. So here when Srila Prabhupada is in his last days, Atreya Rishi is coming from Iran to offer Srila Prabhupada some fruits from Iran in the form of pomegranates and sweet lemons. And what is so wonderful is today we're seeing that those sweet fruits of Iran are still coming to be offered to Srila Prabhupada in the form of these beautiful devotees. Srila Prabhupada listened with intense interest to Atreya Rishi's report and then spoke for a while about the Middle East and how to best present Krishna consciousness there. Kirtananand, actually in the Middle East, Srila Prabhupada explained so nicely that we must present Krishna consciousness in a very non-sectarian way. Not to oppose the Holy Quran or Islam, but to induce people to understand the holy name of God is sacred. The universal essence and principle of all religions. And in this way present Krishna consciousness. First open people's hearts and then put Krishna in their hearts. Srila Prabhupada, whenever he was beginning his preaching in any area, he was so perfect and expert in this way. In New York, in San Francisco, in London, here we find in Iran, people who Krishna consciousness was absolutely foreign to. By his own qualities, by his prasad, He had restaurant in Iran. Prasad is very powerful. Srila Prabhupada would get people to open their minds and open their hearts. And when people open their minds and open their hearts to receive Krishna favorably, then their lives will be transformed. Because Krishna, Prabhupada had complete faith that Krishna is all attractive. If people simply open themselves to receive Krishna, they will be attracted. That is the challenge, to somehow or other get people to open their hearts. Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport, the purpose of all of his temples all over the world is to get people to associate with devotees, to give people the opportunity to associate with devotees. Because when they see the wonderful kindness, compassion, and lifestyle of Vaishnavas, their hearts become soft, their hearts open, their minds open. And naturally, they become eager to hear. And then Krishna, who is non-different than his name, who is non-different than his teachings, who is non-different than his pastimes, attracts their hearts. Kirtanananda Swami had brought milk products from New Vrindavan. And a sannyasi came from Thailand with fruits and flowers. Here Srila Prabhupada is, he has given his life, his everything for his disciples, and they're trying to express their gratitude by reciprocating by bringing some pomegranates or some milk products or some fruits from Thailand. Patram pushpam palam toyam. Krishna gives us everything. He gives us everything. The air we breathe, the body we live in, the mind we have, and our intelligence. He gives us our families. He gives us the sun and the moon and water and food. He gives us himself. How could we repay Krishna? Krishna tells, just offer me a fruit, little water, a leaf, a flower with love, and I will be satisfied. Prabhupada explains, just like when you take water from Ganga to offer to Ganga, what are you offering? You're getting from her. But when you offer it back, if it's done with sincerity, she will accept it as something invaluable. So Prabhupada is Krishna's representative. What could we do to reciprocate with Srila Prabhupada? In one sense, our whole life of sacrificing in devotional service is like just offering Prabhupada a piece of fruit. It is not what you offer, but the purpose in which you offer. This pomegranate, or this piece of sandesh, Srila Prabhupada, it was a form, it was an expression by which these devotees were giving their whole lives. And that is a fact. Giving their whole lives. And Prabhupada was so pleased with these little fruits because it was the symbol of the life that they were giving in devotional service. And how much Srila Prabhupada appreciated the milk products from New Vrindavan. There are many stories on this subject. The first cow in all of ISKCON was New Vrindavan. It was the first farm community. At that time, they had a plot of land, about 100 acres, in a very, very isolated forest on top of a hill, about a 3-mile walk through mud, through the forest, uphill to reach there. That was all. And they had no money. Kirtanananda Swami and Hayagriva Prabhu, Hayagriva Maharaj, they started that community with Srila Prabhupada's blessings. And Prabhupada instructed them. He wanted to establish cow protection. Now, these are devotees from towns and cities. What do they know about cows? And with the little money they had, they bought a cow. Hare Krishna. It was a cheap cow. She was a little cow, black with some white spots. And the reason she was so cheap is she was blind in one eye. She only had one eye. And Prabhupada came and he saw this cow and named her Kaliya because she was black. And Prabhupada loved Kaliya. She was the original cow of ISKCON. And cow protection was a very important part of Prabhupada's whole vision for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. And here was the first cow. And Prabhupada loved her milk. Prabhupada was sitting on that little mountain in a little shack of a house, surrounded by an ocean of mud. And Prabhupada he drank that milk of Kaliya, and he said, "This is the best milk I've drunk in 40 years. Hare Krishna." And he also loved self-sufficiency. If anything grew wild, there's a weed that grows there called pokeweed. Just a wild-growing weed. Prabhupada loved it because it grew locally. They would make him pokeweed sabji, pokeweed pakoras, pokeweed dal. One time Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan and they gave him some kheer, sweet rice, made from Krishna's cows. And Prabhupada said, "This is the best sweet rice I have tasted in 40 years. Hare Krishna." Made by the hands of just American devotees, but with the milk from Krishna's personal cows. So that was in about 1969 when Srila Prabhupada gave the name to Kaliya. And from that time, he traveled around the world about 13 times, preached to tens and thousands of people, translated volume after volume after volume of the essence of the Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Rasamrita, Sindhu, Ishopanishad. In 1976, he was taking a walk back to that old farmhouse. The first time he's been there since 1969. And as he's walking the last stretch of the road, some cows are out in the pasture. And amongst them, by this time there was well over 100 cows at New Vrindavan. And by this time, Kaliya, that little old one-eyed cow, was very old. But she gave calf every single year, as long as she lived there, and gave milk throughout the year. So, 7 years later, Prabhupada's walking up the road, and Kaliya came running and walked next to him. And one devotee said, "Prabhupada, do you know who this cow is?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, I know. This is Kaliya. I know Kaliya. She is my old friend." Prabhupada remembered her so many years later. And he loved her because of the milk she gave. And how he encouraged all the devotees. To encourage this cow protection and utilizing the milk products of Krishna's cows, Prabhupada gave so many incentives with so much appreciation. One devotee would milk the cows and they'll make sandesh from that milk. And Kirtanananda Maharaj, whenever he would visit Prabhupada, he would bring a box of that. And Prabhupada, as soon as he would see him, he would ask, "Where is the sandesh?" So on this occasion, it was the last time most of these devotees could make an offering to Srila Prabhupada. This devotee brought Prabhupada sandesh and ice cream made from the cows that was packed in dry ice to keep it cold all the way from West Virginia to Vrindavan and so many other nice things. When Adi Keshav Swami came in, Prabhupada beamed. He heard with great pleasure Adi Keshava's report of the impact of the New York court decision on Indians around the world. Srila Prabhupada taught his disciples to be so bold. On one occasion, the New York temple, or some temples in America, were being sued for brainwashing. It was in courts. Serious thing, American courts. And Adi Keshav Maharaj, he was the GBC at that time. And he was being sued himself. It's very, very serious for brainwashing, ruining people's lives. And Prabhupada told him, "Don't be afraid, Krishna's with you. You go into that court and you tell the judge that all these people, their brains are dirty. Their brains are full of stool. Why do you have an objection for us to clean their brains, to wash their brains? You say we're brainwashing? This is a very good compliment. Why you have an objection if we wash their dirty brains?" Prabhupada said, "You tell them that this is a society addicted to sex life and sense gratification. You need your brain washed." This was Prabhupada's defense. He didn't care about lawyers. He didn't care about pacifications or settlements. He cared about truth. And Adi Keshav Prabhu, he was very much, "How am I going to say that in front of the judge in an American courtroom?" But by Krishna's grace, because he surrendered to what Prabhupada wanted him to do, we won the court case. I don't even know if he had it to even say it, but we won the court case. Srila Prabhupada and Krishna were teaching through this amazing historical incident that we should not take shelter of material arrangements. We should take shelter of Guru and Krishna and have faith in Guru and Krishna. And know if Guru and Krishna are pleased, we are success. We have nothing to fear. And if they are not pleased, whatever material arrangements we make, we will ultimately fail. When Swarup Damodar arrived, he showed Prabhupada the manuscripts of three pamphlets proving scientifically and mathematically that Krishna consciousness is the absolute truth. All glories to His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. One of Srila Prabhupada's most intimate, affectionate disciples. from the first meeting that Srila Prabhupada had with him, he saw something so dear and special, such a great potential. It was like Krishna was sending him, because Srila Prabhupada was trying to establish Krishna consciousness throughout the world, and he understood how much modern science was affecting and influencing the way people thought and lived in this world, and how modern scientific conceptions were drawing people away from God. Intelligent people, seeing the dogmatism, sectarianism, ritualistic nature of most religions throughout the world, both East and West, considered that religion was unscientific. It was superstition. It was sentiment. It may help you to become more moral and pious and a better person, but there's no real truth behind it. It's all just to help society to become better. But the problem is the whole system was backfiring, because due to religion, people became so egoistic over their religious affiliation, sectarianism. Religion was becoming one of the most dangerous things on earth. Terrorism, sectarianism. Unscientific. Srila Prabhupada understood we must create in people's mind the understanding that Krishna consciousness has the highest, most profound scientific foundation. And at that time, he had no scientists to help him. And in comes, into New Dwarka comes Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. He was a scientist working on his PhD in an American university. And he was from Manipur. A Vaishnav, Prabhupada said it was a Vaishnav kingdom established by the followers of Narottam Das Thakur. And his boy was a Vaishnav, a devotee. Immediately, Srila Prabhupada accepted him like an intimate son. And immediately, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj surrendered his life to Srila Prabhupada. And those wonderful morning walks in Los Angeles and other places, Bombay. So many of the biggest leaders of ISKCON were there with Prabhupada. At that time, he was just, what, Taudam Singh? He wasn't even initiated yet, and yet Prabhupada was asking him, what do they say, what do they say? He was brahmachari after initiation. So many GBCs, so many sannyasis, so many temple presidents, all these people were taking the walks. Only the cream of the devotees were generally allowed to take the morning walks with Prabhupada. And usually 90% of the dialogue, many of you have heard the tapes, was just Prabhupada turning to Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. What do they say about this? What do they say about this? And they would have a dialogue. Prabhupada was preaching to the entire world for all generations to follow through Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. I remember the first time I met him in 1972. Prabhupada was coming from Los Angeles to New Vrindavan for the Bhagavad Dharma discourses. And Prabhupada took Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj with him, along with his own entourage of secretary and personal servant and translator, I mean Sanskrit editor. Prabhupada personally took him with him and sat next to him on the plane, because he considered this devotee such a unlimitedly valuable asset to his vision and his mission in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada established the BI, and it's the only project I ever heard of where Prabhupada would tell leaders that give him whatever he wants. Prabhupada had so much enthusiasm for this project. And here is, on Prabhupada's last days, Krishna is just giving so much reciprocation to Srila Prabhupada through Prabhupada's own disciples. Bhakti Swarup Dhammaramaraj is coming and giving Prabhupada such immense pleasure by showing him the manuscripts of three pamphlets proving scientifically and mathematically that Krishna consciousness is the absolute truth. After each report and greeting, Srila Prabhupada would ask that the kirtan be continued, and he would become silent as the devotees sang softly, hour after hour, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. A very small pair of kartals, the only instrument, produced a soft, pleasant ringing. Radharas Bihari really orchestrate things so perfectly for the reading of Prabhupada Lilavrita. A soft, pleasant ringing. The voices of the chanters were subdued, but their minds were firmly fixed in devotion to Srila Prabhupada and the holy name, concerned that Prabhupada could hear the Maha Mantra without interruption. Srila Prabhupada is teaching us that the goal of life is to awaken within our hearts a taste for chanting the holy names. That is everything. When we have a taste for chanting the holy names, all material anarthas are swept away from our heart. When we develop a true taste for the chanting of the holy name, param drisvani vartate, then the pleasures of this world become insignificant. And how to develop such a taste? To chant the names constantly? Prabhupada often quoted Lord Chaitanya. Trinadapi sunichena tador ibasihishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. None. No respect for me. There's no substitute for this verse. If we don't pray for, strive for, and sacrifice to live by these principles, never will we develop a real taste for the chanting of the holy names. Srila Prabhupada was the living embodiment of these principles. Therefore, even throughout his life and in the last moments, he was completely addicted to chanting the holy names and hearing the holy names uninterruptedly. And he's teaching us, this is real progress. This is true success. That we actually develop a taste for chanting Hare Krishna constantly. And this should be the criteria by which we analyze how we're advancing. Not by material facilities or designations, but how we are actually developing a taste to chant the holy names uninterruptedly. That is all Prabhupada wanted in his last days, just to reciprocate with the love of his devotees and chant Hare Krishna constantly. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada, for giving us everything. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.